Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings in for Goo. That's it. He's here for Goo.
You need a Snickers bar.
No. Haven't had chocolate in a while.
I mean, satisfy your hunger. You want to do that read again?
No, I don't. Because, listen, they got the gist of it. Right. Hey, can I praise somebody?
Are you sure you're allowed to do that?
Risotto, how old are you?
I'm 23.
23 years old.
Taylor Swift.
So, I'm talking to Risotto, 23 years old. And I'm like, what are you up to today? And maybe come out after? He goes, I'm coaching Little League at, did you say 6, 7, and 8 tonight?
No, Junior Giants. Shout out Junior Giants. So 6, 7, 8, 9-year olds.
Okay. Now, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. That's very impressive.
Well,
like,
thank you.
At 23, I wasn't interested in helping anybody, let alone 60.
I'm going to need to ask him some follow-ups.
Seriously, on a Friday, like, how long are you going to be on the diamond tonight?
It's from 6 p.m. to 7:30.
How much you making? Didn't
that cramp your style?
It's volunteer, Evan.
How much you making?
Oh, my God.
It's volunteer. The Giants do give away some free stuff from time to time.
And there it is.
That's not why we do it, though.
Why do you do it?
Because it's fun.
Is it?
Coaching baseball.
Is it fun, or are you just saying it's fun?
The way you're saying it doesn't sound fun.
It's fun. It's a blast.
As Guru would say, though, like, are you sipping? Or you probably have all your faculties.
Oh, yeah.
He's not pre-gaming practice. You don't do that. No, in all honesty, that is pretty cool. And I do wish that we had more coaches in general that aren't just parents. Like, you kind of need some people at every single practice or associated with the Little League team. I can't speak for, well, I don't know, Pop Warner, maybe too. You need people that are not affiliated with the kids. Like, having Pop coach all your teams, some are great, but you need some people there like Pasta that have no vested interest, even though I can't understand why he would.
I would agree with that. And for the life of me, I've never understood this, because when I was playing Little League, it was absolutely unheard of. Quite frankly, it was unspeakable to go to practice and have a parent watch practice. What the hell is that?
A lot of the parents do watch practice.
That's right.
It's uncomfortable sometimes.
It's a joke. They shouldn't be allowed, believe it or not. My parents, and I never had a teammate whose parents watched a practice. Not in grade school, junior high, high school, college. When did this start?
I think it's a new thing because, well, my parents just dropped me off and left.
Exactly. And like, you
not
almost,
only that,
you almost had to.
Little League or most after school sports, it's daycare. It's daycare for the kids. Not every kid, specifically in Pasta's age range that he's talking about, 6, 7, 8, 9, not all those kids are going to continue to play. Many of them are not going to play in high school. It's to introduce social skills. That's what Little League is all about. Everyone thinks it's about molding the next Bryce Harper. And maybe you got a couple ballers in your league, people who make the all-star team, someone like myself or yourself, Stein, who goes on to play Division III. However, most kids are not going to play past Little League. It's about having fun and developing social skills with your friends. So parents, I know that everyone wants to see their progress and their investment. Quit looking at your kid like that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And what progress is going to be made when they look around their shoulder and they see their parent there? You know, at some point as a parent, I'm not a parent. At some point as a parent, you got to be able to back off a little bit and let your kid experience life.
Thank you.
Well, no, I mean, I do believe there are some parents that enjoy just sitting there and watching practice. And if you can, that's fine. More power to you.
But if they're there, they're more inclined to either get involved or have an opinion or...
No, I would like to believe that there are some parents out there that can separate themselves from the team. They just legitimately enjoy watching their child participate in the sport. But that's a small fraction.
But...
From my experience.
You know what? Here's the way I feel about it. And listen. This is why society's changed. 415, wrong again, Steiny. A coach who bans parents from watching practice would be fired before the practice is over. That's
really?
A joke. Now, this one's a little different. Sports are expensive now. Parents want to see how their investment is paying off. Okay, go to one. And if you like it, you like what the coach is doing, hit the pike.
Investment is crazy.
Wait, no. Actually, this is where Pasta, we do need to sit this one out. I got to ask you, Steiny. Have you ever looked at one of your three daughters as an investment?
No.
Okay, well then I think it's fair.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Like, I think there might be some parents who look at their child participating in sports as an investment.
It is so unfair to the coach. It's unbelievable. I wouldn't coach under those circumstances. I just wouldn't.
So if I see parents at the practice tonight, what should I say to them, Steiny, that are sitting there watching?
Well, it doesn't sound like you can really do anything because...
But if I could do something...
It's the way it is now.
If I could do something, what should I say?
I would say, hey, guys, how you doing? So, well, you know, it's thanks for dropping your kid off. Here's what I would say. Practice is over at 7:30 when you want... That's when you want to come pick them up. So come back at 7:30 to pick them up. Find something to do for 90 minutes.
Oh, coach, we're not leaving.
Now, this is interesting.
Then I find out whose kid is theirs, and I humiliate him. That's what I would do. I would humiliate him.
Games are fair. Like, my parents watched me play games, and I liked them being at my games up until a certain point. Then that was more about me than them. But practice, do you not, like, drop them off and come back and pick them up later or go somewhere? Just let them be them. I don't know. When I was coaching in Little League, this was a while ago, but there's a few parents that would hang around, and I guess I was always curious, and I wondered why. And if there's any out there that do and have a legitimate reason, I would love to hear it, because I never really got it. Again, my parents would drop me off at practice, let me practice with my team, yeah, come back and get me.
Yeah.
And then they would show up and drop me off on game days and watch the games, yeah, the way that it has always been.
And that's the way it should be. And, you know, that's the way life works.
That's what, frankly, life's about.
No, the, yeah, anyway. I just don't get it. Like, the idea that my dad would have dropped me off at C.E. Cole Middle School in the middle of November at 6 o'clock at night, and then followed me into the gym to say, hey, I'm looking forward to what Mr. Wolf's going to say to the team. What are you doing? Go do some paperwork.
What is going on here?
They want to make sure coaches are not mean. Yeah. Well, you know what? That is what life's about. Sometimes you're going to run into coaches that are just better than others. But yeah, no one is... All right. Pasta is not volunteering his time to be mean to children. He's volunteering his time to help them get better at the game of baseball.
You've never been at one of these practices. You don't know that. No, I'm just kidding.
Pasta, you couldn't be mean if you tried.
No, you're right.
So I'm out. Well, let me take care of some business, and then I'm going to tell you a little story about something that just happened when I get it together. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. They're 6-6, by the way. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in the city.
All right, well, what do you got?
So, it's Valkyries related, but it's not Valkyries. But if you watch the Valkyries game, you know what I'm talking about, or you were at the game. So I walk out of the studio, and I see the boss, Mr. Idea Man.
Nahagian.
Matt Nahagian. And he says to me, Steiny, fair or foul? And that's an old phrase that one of our coworkers used to use, and fair or foul means, is it okay or not? You know how to, you guys understand. So Nahagian goes, fair or foul? Brandon Pajemski, and I said, foul.
Now, why would you say that?
Because I know.
He didn't even finish the question.
Because I knew what he was going to say, and I was right. And the question was this, fair or foul? Pods at the Valkyries game. Now, if you didn't watch the game, Pods is up all the time.
Steiny.
He's up all the time, but more specifically is this part that Nahagian brought up. He kind of called that walk on Caitlin Clark.
He sure did.
Yeah. Should a pro player really be doing that to another pro player? I mean, think about the times when you'll have people watching a game or like they never, you know, you wouldn't see, you go to Oklahoma City Sunday night for game 7 and give me Kyrie Irving's there.
Okay.
He's just there because he loves the game.
Yeah.
And it's like Kyrie Irving standing up and taunting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Fair or foul, Brandon Pajemski at the Valkyries game.
It's fair for him to be at Valkyries games. What I think is foul is how much he tries to involve himself in the Valkyries games. It's kind of like he's on the team. Like the way that he is on the sidelines, or courtside, it feels like that's the same way that he acts when he's on the Warriors bench. And look, I get it. He's probably, in fact, I know he's friendly with players on the team because I saw him in the tunnel after the game. He was chatting it up with Kate Martin and another couple players and their friends and family. But like, I do think that there needs to be a boundary. And clearly we haven't found one yet between Pods and the Valkyries. But I do have to say, it is refreshing to see another professional athlete from for their hometown team that's so clearly invested in their female counterparts.
Okay, somebody on the text line, 510, saying Reggie Miller was all over the court yesterday for the Pacers. Okay, well, the circumstances are a little different. Now, Reggie Miller played for the Pacers. Okay?
He also wasn't mocking or trolling a member of the Thunder.
Exactly.
Like, again, I don't have a problem with Pods cheering and promoting and being a fan. But if a fan did that to Caitlin Clark, which Pods is, like, he's not on the team. He's a fan. If any normal courtside fan did that and almost essentially stepped onto the court, I do think there'd be a lot of people that would say, what is that guy doing?
I agree. But here's the way I, you know, if I put myself in Caitlin Clark's position, here's the way I would feel. All right, I see a guy do that, what Pods did with the walk, and he's in the front row. I don't know if Caitlin Clark recognizes him right away. I don't know if she, oh, that's Brandon Pajemski. He's a second-year player for the Golden State Warriors out of Santa Clara. Like, she may not know him. So I'm going to assume when she looks at Pods, she thinks he's just a fan, like a crazy fan. What I'm saying is, if and when she found out he was a Warrior player, I'd be pissed. I really would be if I were her. Like, finding out that he's actually a Golden State Warrior. In other words, I agree with you. It's just not a good look. It's not a good look.
Now, is it because since he's a player, he should know better kind of thing?
It's there should be a professional respect among professional athletes. Don't be heckling. You know what I mean?
You can say stuff like, you know, again, Reggie Miller's clapping on the sidelines and cheering
for
his
encouraging.
Team.
Like,
I don't know. Reggie Miller's one of the biggest trash talkers of all time.
But it's apples and oranges. Reggie Miller has an affiliation with the Pacers, and he's actually played for them. I get it. The Valkyries are the, you know, the WNBA team, but sure, I expect Reggie Miller to root for the Pacers. I expect Pods to root for the Valkyries. I expect Reggie Miller maybe to trash talk a little bit. But did he come out on the court? And did he walk? You know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? I don't know. I went like, if I were a high school basketball player, all right? I play for Head Royce, and I'm going to go to the Bishop O'Dowd Skyline game. I'm not going to that game and ripping a player on one of those teams. That's just me.
I mean, I do think it's the optics are also strange when, like, the owner of the team is sitting right next to him, and I think Lakeb is as big of a fan as anybody. Even at Warriors games, you will never see, as much as Joe Lacob stands and cheers and hoots and hollers, I don't think you'll ever see him troll or mock another player for another team.
No chance.
I just don't think he'd do it. So it is a little appalling seeing someone who's literally right next to him doing it, also in front of his general manager. Like, I don't know. That kid's got some stones on him. That's all I know. And he's 22. You know, maybe you won't be doing that by the end of the season.
And I believe it or not,
I thought it was a little much.
I do think, like, the fact that he sometimes, if he's going to be at every game, like, yeah, then it's like we're going to the game and you check out Pods. Like, there are wild fans in every arena that are season ticket holders. So I don't necessarily mind that he's a super fan. It's just engaging with the play. Yeah.
Well, he can't be doing that every game, right? Like for the rest of the season. Seriously, every single game you go to, Pods is going to be up in arms and clapping in people's ears. Like it. Really? Like for all, what, they have 22 home dates?
Yeah.
All 22?
I mean, I think he's been to all six.
Shout out the NFL tape. Like for all 22.
Real quick, let's go to Pat in Foster City.
Okay.
Hey, Pat, what do you have to say? Good tribute to the great Michael Urban. Good for ball or bad for ball? Pods is at the Valkyries. What's up, Pat?
Hey, I thought the interview that Pods did after the game was really pretty odd. The way he talked was like he was part of this team. Like, we got to do this and we need to do that. And I didn't know anything about his antics during the game. I just saw the post interview and it was, I thought that was kind of strange. But what you're saying now makes sense that that's kind of how he feels like he is. But, you know, the other thing to kind of keep in mind is that, you know, Lakeup is his boss and he's also, you know, he's an employee of Lakeup and so is all the Valkyries.
Yeah,
so the Valkyries and he, and Pods have the same boss, same, you know, so
that's
they are
true.
Kind of on the same team in that regard. So it's a little different, but I don't know if Pods is just trying to get in the good graces of Lakeup because his contract's coming up and maybe he wants to, you know, show support for his boss's other ventures, if you would. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does seem odd if he was that involved in the game on the sideline. I wasn't aware of that, but that does seem to cross the line. But it is a little different, you know.
Yeah, appreciate it. I didn't hear the interview with Pods after the game. Did you? I'm surprised he did an interview.
Well, I was there. The only one that I forget who was interviewed after the game, but they do an on-court interview for, you know, like the winning side.
Sure.
I forget who the player was, but it was, I think, well, actually, it was, who was guarding Caitlin Clark? I apologize for not knowing this off the
was
top of
Thornton?
My head.
Was it Thornton?
No, it was another guard, but
late.
No, the point stands that he was asked about it afterwards. Although, you know, like he's very friendly with the team. Obviously, again, I saw him in the tunnel. He was chatting it up with everybody. Everyone loves Pods. I just feel like there's a line, and it not even being a habitual line stepper. Like last night, he just crossed it. I mean, I don't know. Like if I'm a fan of Pajemski. As a Warrior, like my favorite athlete, if I saw my favorite athlete trolling another athlete, I think I would look at him differently. I just would. Like this guy's a little immature.
I mean, the one thing I will say is it feels like Pods. You know what I mean? Like I don't.
Yeah, that's who he
like,
is.
He is.
Oh, Hayes. Thank you, 925 Hayes.
What's Hayes?
That was
the player
who
was guarding Caitlin Clark.
She was great.
Yeah, we can. I see a couple calls. Maybe we can finish it up on the other side. But anyway, not my topic. That was the boss. Good for ball, bad for. Well, that was Michael Urban. RIP. We got one more segment, and then we got the crossover. So that's what's coming up. And I got to read. I'm going to try to do it better this time. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment also sponsored by Honda of Vallejo. Hey, in case you missed it, the Golden State Valkyries. They defeated Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. Huge win at Chase Center last night. You want to hear what the energy sounded like? Take a listen.
Foul line, driving right alley. Blocked by! Defense. Hayes, baseball pass ahead to Bibby with Colson to beat. She lays it in! Timeout, FIBA! Backing down, back for Burton. Open 25. Butters good! 69-65. Gordon, three! Right dance! Bounced by seven, their new largest lead of the game with 4:50 to go. Pass fake. Fires a straight on three. Just a little strong. Secures her own miss. Goes right down the lane. Step through to Thornton for three. It's good. It's Bird behind the back. Three to shoot. Stepping back. 18-footer. Bullet Knights. Good night, Indiana! 87-77. This place is so loud that when they called timeout, they didn't even stop the clock. They couldn't hear the whistle. What a win for the GSB tonight against Indiana.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Steiny and Evan Giddings with you on 95.7 The Game. Oh, shoot. I was going to text Guru to have him call in. Give us a family reunion update. We can do that Monday.
Yeah, Monday. I'd like to hear what he's got going down in Texas. A few days off, kicking his feet up.
Got to believe he's got a lot of sweat going.
Dude, I saw the report. It looks like it's like 90 and humid. Goo doesn't like, he doesn't mind the heat, but he's told me he didn't like the humidity.
Yeah. That's common.
Well, you don't like any sort of, I'm not even going to say extreme, but like one time we were talking to the cafeteria and you said something about, you know, you could live up north. And I was like, well, could you live in the cold? And you're like, no, tundra, no. I'm like, well, could you live in the desert? And you said, no. Where you can live 76 degrees, partly cloudy, which is probably why you're in Oakland.
I love the sun. And I thought I was possibly built for the Arctic, but having studied it, I wouldn't last in the Arctic. You need a lot of self-reliance, and I tend to need other people's help. But nevertheless, what was I going to? Oh, Negan hates when I do that. Okay, Buster Posey was on with the MLB Network, either yesterday. He was on this week after the trade. Who cares if it was yesterday or Tuesday?
Well, you don't have to say what date it is.
I know,
you can just say Posey was on with MLB Network.
There it is. He was on. Devin just said it. Let's get to the real issue with Devers right now. Devers is a Giant. We know that. But how's it all going to shake out? When is he going to play first, if at all? And Buster Posey was asked that.
I was talking to Bob about that, and I'll let him make that decision. I'm thinking we're probably going to need to get some more reps at first just to make sure he's comfortable, you know, before we do it. But I'll defer to Bo Mel on that one.
When's the earliest Devers can play first base to your way of thinking?
My guess would be the All-Star break. Because, well, look, he's going to take ground balls every single day, but we heard it last year from Blake Snell, and it might sound stupid, and I get it. Spring training's really important. You need a couple of months to get yourself into game shape, to get yourself prepared, and also, I just think for a guy who's never played that position before, while first base may seem like an easy spot to just throw a guy into, it's going to take some time. And so the All-Star break is about a month away. Spring training oftentimes is, you know, a couple months, so it might be even more than that. The one thing you can't have Devers do is stick him at first base and have him be bad. And I don't think he's a great fielder, but he has to feel confident there, Steiny. Otherwise, well, then you kind of just kill it. Like, you just nip it in the bud and say, you ain't playing there this year.
I get you. And the other thing they got to figure out is, so they're just Wilmer Flores. What I mean, he pinch hit twice in this series. Where does he fit in?
He doesn't. Against righties.
Right.
Against left-handed starters, Wilmer Flores is going to play first base. And against right-handed pitching, I think for the most part, unless Dom Smith really falls off a cliff, he's going to pinch hit. And that's, isn't it crazy? Like, I realize that Wilmer Flores, he's not Sal Bando, but he's your leader in RBIs. And he's pinch hitting. There's something amiss there. There's something off with that. And I know you, it's just what you have to do right now, and I think Melvin's doing the best he can. But, like, he's not at a stage in his career where he can play second base anymore. He's still not a great first baseman, but there's really just nowhere you can put him.
Well, excuse me. The my question is, so how many RBIs does Devers have? About 50? Let's just say he has 50. I think he might have fewer than that, but let's say he has 50 and Flores has 50. So you acquired Devers.
He has 58.
Okay.
59 Devers does, and Wilmer Flores has...
53.
Yep.
So how much did you really gain if... I get it, Devers is a better player, but if Devers is just replacing, for the most part, Flores, then... can you really expect a lot more production out of the lineup? It would seem to me that you'd want to keep Flores in there somehow, and obviously that's the issue, and bring in and have Devers there to be another run producer. But it almost feels like, well, they got Devers, and he's better than Flores, but now we don't have Flores. And, oh, by the way, the guy whoever ends up playing first base, which is probably Devers, is going to be terrible, or is going to be a bad first baseman.
Well, Devers walks. No, I'm just kidding. But it this is where it kind of comes down to what you believe. Like, the RBI is not a statistic that a hitter can really control, right? You can get a hit, but guys have to be on base for you to get an RBI. The one thing the Giants have really struggled with this year are getting guys in. And I know that it's not a foolproof statistic, but I do think on a team like the Giants, RBIs kind of are important because they really struggle with runners in scoring position. You need those clutch at-bats to get guys in. And Flores, for whatever reason, seems to be one of the few players that has seriously thrived in those spots. Like yesterday, comes off the bench, and I feel like he's going to get a hit. Whether he does or doesn't, I feel like Flores gives you a really good shot to get those runs in. And now he gets 1 to 2 at-bats a game over the course of a series, because most teams don't have a lot of left-handed starters. He's probably going to pinch hit in two of them. So, Steiny, over the last 3 games, in which you lost 2 of them, he got 5 at-bats, 6 at-bats.
Yep.
You know, I ideally would like one of my better hitters to be getting 12 at-bats in a series and try to maximize my chances of scoring runs. So that's why, Devers is better. He's going to play. But there's something wrong with that picture. And there's nothing you can do about it. But that's why when everyone is assuming that the offense is going to be so much better, it's like it's not really that simple, because you are removing a piece that's helped you this year.
And I know it's a small sample size, but they've scored 2 runs a game with Devers since he's arrived.
At least until Devers is going to be able to play first base. And maybe I'm on an island, but I just think that it's not so simple to ask him to just go play first or like next. Like everybody who thought that, I might be proved wrong. I highly doubt he plays first base in this series against the Red Sox, like to quote unquote spite them. I think he would like to, you know, and I think him saying at the podium during his press conference, "I'm willing to play everywhere," that's the middle finger. But he doesn't need to play first base to prove that.
No, and he doesn't have to prove it this weekend either. I agree with you. Buster Posey, again, this is from the MLB Network, and if you were listening this week, you know that one of the things I'm fascinated by, which makes me weird, is what kind of relationship Farhan had with the ownership group, and what kind of relationship does Posey have with the ownership group, knowing that he's essentially one of them. But here's how Buster Posey described everything coming together.
the people around me, as you mentioned, Zach Manassian has been in the game for a long time. Jeremy Shelley's been in it forever. You mentioned Jeff Berry. Jeff Berry was instrumental. And for me, just bouncing questions off of him, he's negotiated so many different deals. Obviously, this is different than negotiating for a player or free agent, but just his experience was extremely important for me. So there's a ton for me to learn, but there's a ton of people around me that have a lot of experience, and I've been all ears.
What a class act. Such a class act.
You love this guy. I think you like him more than any other front office member in the Bay Area.
Well, he's under the, I hope my daughter marries someone like that. That's why he fits
there. He's probably got a dark side.
No, he doesn't. But you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I believe everybody does have a dark side.
Yeah, you're wearing a dark shirt, right?
But
now.
I don't think Posey does, actually. Like, and we were talking about this yesterday, and it rubbed some people the wrong way, by the way, which means I'll bring it up again. So, I can envision, Curry, he's got a dark side. I don't know what it is, and neither do you, but you know what? He does. How do I know? I can just tell. Most people do, and he has one. Posey? I actually don't think he has one. I just don't. And that's another difference between Posey and Curry.
Well, I think that's a gut feeling you have.
Oh, that's all it is.
Yeah. Well, no, I know, but he's got to have something wrong with him.
No, yeah, he doesn't. He's the kind of guy who, hey, Buster, come on, you got to have a vice. What's your vice? And he'll say, I work out too much. one of those guys.
It's really hard for me to have a drink. I just don't really. No, I'm probably sure. He hit a deer when he was 6 years old or something.
And you asked me this the other day about Posey. What could you ever say bad about Posey? And I said, well, he's two-faced. Because of what he said about San Francisco. Of course, that was tongue-in-cheek, but there is another one.
Well, he went to Florida State. He probably wasn't a good student. What?
You mentioned it, and I had forgotten it. He let Hunter Strickland hang. He was like that one Hanson brother. No, he was like Paul Newman in Slapshot. He didn't fight. No, it wasn't Paul Newman. It was that other guy. Paul Newman fought. Who was the guy who didn't fight? And the Hanson brothers would be tearing guys apart, and there'd be one guy sitting on the bench. He just did not fight. And that was Buster Posey.
But in a way, actually, that makes me like him more.
I know.
I've done that before.
Whoa.
Not coming to your teammate's aid. Now,
Guru and I have gotten into fights over this.
I know.
Okay.
I'm assuming Guru's the guy that's got everyone's back. But my teammate was just so stupid. He didn't have to do what he did. Hitting people in high school is just dumb. You don't hit people we're all children. No one's got money on the line. There's no respect. We don't like your school. You don't like ours. Just beat him and move along. Nobody needs to get hit, so our pitcher goes and does something stupid and hits a guy. And I'm sorry, my first reaction is not to rush to the mound to intercept somebody who deserves to at least get one free shot at him before everyone else intervenes and breaks it up. So that's why, when Strickland took it upon himself to throw at Bryce Harper, this guy's an idiot, number one. He took you deep, you didn't like it, went back to the playoffs, whatever. It was so stupid that Posey knew it, because every catcher has the chance to intercept a batter. It's the first thing you do. You get hit, you pop out of the crouch, and you get in front of the guy, and you tell him to go to first base. Posey didn't do that. And you know what? I kind of get it.
What if Strickland told him not to do it?
Oh, there's a monkey wrench.
What if he said, I'm going to hit Bryce Harper, don't intervene because I want a piece of Bryce Harper?
Posey should want a piece of Harper.
And Posey was just like, all right, this guy's an idiot. I'm just fine, fight him.
Yes, because also, if you notice, who was the first baseman for that team, Pasta?
Michael Morse.
Yeah, he's the first person to get there. So Strickland clearly didn't tell everybody else he wanted a piece of him.
And Morse got hurt, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. You can tell by how quickly everyone else gets in. Yeah, I'll take it for the text line. I'm a bad teammate. I'll wear that.
Yeah, I mean,
was that day.
It is true. You can, it's directly, it's a car, there's a correlation between how long a fight lasts and whether the one guy was a jerk or not. So when Sprewell and Carlissimo went at it.
Oh, God.
There were a lot of spectators. You ever see the movie, oh, boy, what's it called?
There's a lot of them.
Oh, boy. It's now Dazed and Confused. You ever see Dazed and Confused?
No, but I've heard about it. So wait, are you telling me that when that kerfuffle ensued, that there were some people who just kind of brushed it off?
Yes. Yes.
Now, why would that be?
They didn't, because they didn't want to get between Sprewell and Carlissimo.
Was it fear of Sprewell or lack of respect for Carlissimo?
I think it was the latter at the time. But remember, Dazed and Confused has a scene where there's this nerdy guy who gets picked on by this muscular, strong guy. And it went on through the whole movie. And finally, he's like, you know what? I'm going to punch him. I'm going to cold cock him. I'm just going to punch him. And they're like, you can't do that. He'll beat you up. And the guy's like, no. What happens is I'll punch him. And then everybody will run in. Everybody will just rush in to break it up. And of course he does it. And the first thing you hear was, fight, get away. Let him fight.
And the guy got beat. And ironically, one of the actresses' names in that movie is Parker Posey.
That's pretty good. This is also a 4 from the 5-0. Buster Posey was on PJ Carlissimo's side.
No, he wasn't. I don't think he
No, was. I think Posey was a great teammate. But I also think, look, and again, he's just being an idiot. Not Posey, Strickland.
Yes. By the way, a little tidbit from Risotto.
Okay.
And it's just another reason, you know, we're starting to peel away a little bit about Posey and his aura. Apparently, he only had a 3.94 in high school.
Who, Posey?
Great point average, 3.94. How can he not get a 4.0 in high school?
Where'd he go to high school?
Somewhere in Florida, which makes it even worse.
Well, maybe he went
to... Maybe it's not in Florida.
Maybe he went to a prep school.
No, he's a great student, too.
He strikes me as a...
Posey.
As a well-read man.
Lee County High School, per the great Mark Grandy.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Okay, now you got... Where's Lee County?
Leesburg, Georgia.
Yeah, Bishop O'Dowd of the East.
Where's Leesburg, Georgia?
Georgia.
That really narrows it down, fellas. We got a crack staff back there.
We do. Is it near Atlanta? That's all. It's kind of all I want.
You've only
know.
Ever been to Atlanta and Georgia.
It's in Lee County.
Thanks.
Hey, Risotto. Careful. I got a little. Disheveled.
Okay.
Just talk for a second. Yeah. I got to get ready.
Well,
it
allows me some time to get something off my chest, which is, okay, so people didn't like, it wasn't even a take, but all right, I didn't defend my high school teammate in the one instance where I felt like he was being an idiot. So that's a bad teammate. Today, I've had some bad takes. This whole business is built on bad takes.
Well,
everywhere I look, every time anything blows up from our station account, from national social media accounts, it's always because people are mad about a bad take. You know what? If I say, hey, Steiny, I think Rafael Devers is going to hit 27 home runs, you know, the next 4 years. I think he's going to hit 274.
On average?
On average.
Okay.
He's going to hit 27. Okay. He's never going to crack 30.
All right.
He's going to hit 27 home runs,
okay,
274 average, and he's going to drive in 92 runs a year.
Okay. That's not a hot take.
I know. No one cares that I just said that, even though it's a completely reasonable statement. You people don't want reasonable sports takes. Yeah, I'm talking to people out there. You don't want them. You want us to say something ridiculous so you can react to it. That's what the business is built on, Steiny.
Yes. I see where you're coming from, and that's why it's been, you know, challenging for me during the course of my career to watch what's happened to the business and for it to go that way and for me to be just a stalwart in my ways and not to fall prey to that kind of journalism, if you will. And you guys are all welcome, quite frankly.
I see you, 650. Also, well, we got a couple minutes here. You see the biggest rivalry in sports last night? Oh, in baseball, sorry.
Yes, I did, actually.
It got pretty testy.
Dodgers, Padres. How many guys got plunked?
What a rivalry looks like. I know that the Giants and Dodgers are big and they're historic, and nobody's throwing at anybody. Nobody's getting hit. No benches are clearing. The weekend series in L.A. was the most cordial three-game series I've ever seen between quote-unquote rivals. Six guys got hit the last 4 days. Managers wanted to fight each other. Dave Roberts is telling Schilt, come meet me out back, even though his back is going to get thrown out the moment he throws a punch. Tatis is on the ground. Shohei's trying to defuse everything. Guys are getting plunked left and right. That's a rivalry.
What's your point?
I just wanted to get off my chest.
Well, finish strong and say, Giants fans, you ain't in the Dodgers league. Like, that's really how you wanted to leave it.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's the best rivalry in baseball right now. It's the Dodgers and the Padres.
Right, but
that's all I'm saying. People don't like it.
One of the keys to this business is don't just take it halfway. Now try to incite Giants fans.
Well, I don't have the date of the next Dodger game on the top of my head, but there's 10 more games together, and I guarantee you, Bob Melvin won't throw at anybody. How about that?
We'll play. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.